This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah. Salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. Bismillah, alhamdulillah. Salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. This is Riyad Warzazi. We're coming to our tafsir bits, tafsir bites. And today, inshallah ta'ala, will be with Surah An-Nur. I will just give a minute or two for more people to join, inshallah. Surah An-Nur is an amazing surah. And in fact, we could have a seminar on Surah An-Nur. But we'll give you a short, sweet tafsir about the surah, inshallah ta'ala. I'm just going to give a minute for more people to join, inshallah. All right. Give you a chance to get your notebooks, get your pens, pencils handy, and get ready. Surah An-Nur today, inshallah ta'ala. I hope you guys are all doing great. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, all of you. If you're ready, inshallah ta'ala, I am, so that we can get going with Surah An-Nur. Surah An-Nur, inshallah. Surah of the light, the Nur. As I mentioned, Surah An-Nur, we could make it into a seminar. Really, it's there's a lot of ahkam, a lot of rulings, a lot of it's filled with tarbiyah. Surah filled with tarbiyah, you know, educating us as human beings. All right, so Surah An-Nur. Let's start, inshallah ta'ala. Bismillah. Let me, in fact, start. Let me pin this. All right. Tafsir Surah An-Nur. Tafsir. Let me pin it. An-Nur. All right. Come on. Post. And pin. There you go. Yalla. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We are with Tafsir Bites, our series, which we've started back in Ramadan. And we are with Surah An-Nur. Surah An-Nur, it's number 24. Number 24, and it has 64 ayat. 64 ayat, and it's Juz 18. Juz 18 from Surah An-Nur. And it's a Madani Surah. Surah An-Nur is a Madani, Surah Madaniyah. You know, a Madani Surah. Why is it called Surah An-Nur? Because it's, you know, it's mentioned Surah, you know, Nur in it, and it's mentioned subhanAllah seven times. The Nur meaning the light. And it is from Al-Mathani. Remember the four different types of surahs? The four different types of surahs. We have the, you know, Sab' Al-Mathani, you have Al-Mi'in, and you have Sab' Al-Tiwal, I'm sorry, the Sab' Al-Tiwal, Al-Mathani, and you have Al-Mi'in. So this one is considered to be from Al-Mathani. Right below Al-Mi'in, you have Sab' Al-Tiwal, the seven long ones, like Al-Baqarah and Al-Nisa and Al-Imran. Right? And then you have Al-Mi'in, those who are 100 verses or more or less. And then you have those that are less than 100 verses that are called Al-Mathani, where the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad that says that he was, he received the Mathani as a replacement of the Injil, subhanAllah, instead of the Injil. And it's been narrated that Umar ibn Khattab, there's nothing in terms of virtues about this surah, but Umar ibn Khattab used to tell people, teach, ta'allamu, teach, learn surah Bara'ah. Yani Bara'ah means surah al-Tawbah. And teach your women surah al-Nur. Wa'allimu nisa'akum surah al-Nur. So this is a statement or saying by Umar ibn Khattab, radiallahu anhu wa arda. The tartib of the revelation, you know, in terms of a revelation, what's the number of the surah is number 103. 103. So 114 surahs, Surah An-Nur is 103. So it's a very late surah, right? If it's 103, you know, compared to 114, that means it's a very, very late surah. This is why it's a Madani surah, meaning it was revealed in Medina. Right after Surah An-Nasr and right before Surah Al-Hajj. This is in terms of the revelation of Surah An-Nur. With regard to the Asbab al-Nuzul, with regard to the reasons why the surah was revealed, it's been narrated that it has eight reasons why this surah was revealed, and mostly they have to deal with or do with tarbiyat as-sahaba. You will see that the surah is filled with legislations, with rulings, ahkam. There's a lot of etiquette, a lot of adab, a lot of tarbiyat of as-sahaba. And in it, subhanAllah, it talks about one of the main reasons of why this surah was revealed. In it, there's this ayah that talks about hadithat al-ifk, very well-known incident that happened at the time of the Prophet, the incident of Aisha, the slandering of Aisha, very well-known, right? When they accused Aisha, astaghfirullah, they slandered her and accused her in her chastity, you know, hadithat al-ifk. So Aisha, she says, when Allah Azza wa Jal sent down the ayah that showed her innocence, Abu Bakr Siddiq, he used to, and I will explain this later on when it comes to the ayah, Abu Bakr Siddiq used to support a cousin of him by the name of Mustah ibn Uthatha. Mustah ibn Uthatha was related to Abu Bakr Siddiq and was related to Aisha. So he used to, you know, support him financially. But this man, Mustah ibn Uthatha, he fell into the slandering as well. You know, he slandered Aisha. So Abu Bakr Siddiq, after the, you know, Allah Azza wa Jal, you know, after Allah Azza wa Jal showed Aisha's innocence, Abu Bakr Siddiq, he vowed not to support that man anymore. He says, this is, you know, what I get in return. I'm supporting him financially. And then in return, he slanders my daughter. So he swore not to support him anymore. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he revealed, وَلَا يَأْتِ لِأُولُ الْفَضْلِ مِنْكُمْ وَالسَّعَةِ أن يؤتوا أولو القربى والمساكين والمهاجرين في سبيل الله وليعفوا وليصفحوا. This is in verse number 66 from Surah An-Nur. 66 from Surah An-Nur. Whereby Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, in regard, you know, to, or in relation to Abu Bakr Siddiq, when he said that he would never, you know, sponsor or support that, you know, that man again, Allah Azza wa Jalla revealed that ayah, telling him, وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا, let them pardon and forgive. Don't you want Allah Azza wa Jal to forgive you? So Abu Bakr said, I shall. And then he forgave and he went back and he started supporting him. So this is one of the other reasons why the surah was revealed. The surah, my brothers and sisters, starts with Jumla Khabariyah. Jumla Khabariyah. I mentioned about 10 different types of introductions of to the surahs of the Quran. This is, you know, when I first spoke about this, my very first session, if you want to go back to it. In fact, the second lecture, I remember correctly, the second session or the second lecture on the series, where I spoke about the categories of surahs and the different types of introductions of the surahs, the 10 different types. Allah Azza wa Jal starts the surah with what we call Jumla Khabariyah. It's a statement. A statement. سورة أنزلناها وفرضناها وأنزلنا فيها آيات بينات لعلكم تذكرون. A chapter which we have sent down and which we have enjoyed, and in it we have revealed a manifest proofs. So this is a statement whereby Allah Azza wa Jal start the surah with. The surah, the content of it, my brothers and sisters, is split into three sections. I will only give you here, I won't go deep, but I will give you, trust me, inshallah, I will give you enough tafsir, what you need to understand this surah and the content of it in general. So I will give you, you know, what you need, just enough to understand the surah. This is why we call it tafsir bits or tafsir bites. We don't go deep yet. I give you enough, inshallah, to understand the surah, so that when you read it or when you hear the imam pray, you know, and then you're, you know, recite it and you're praying maybe in the masjid, you will understand the meaning of the surah and the reasons why it was revealed. So the surah was, you know, it has three sections. One section that deals with legislations and rulings, tashri' and ahkam. And there's one section that talks about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's one section that talks about the tarbiyah. Tarbiyah, يعني, you know, educating the Sahaba, raising them, you know, and instilling good morals into people in general. With regard to the first section starts from verse number 1 to verse number 24. verse number 1 to verse number 34, verse number 1 to verse number 34. This is the first section. In that section, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the punishment of zina. Imagine the very first things Allah has talked about here. Like I mentioned, this is surah filled with legislations and rulings. The very first legislation is pertinent to those who commit adultery. Subhanallah. Those who commit adultery. So Allah Azza wa Jalla says, بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم الزاني والزانية فاجلدوا كل واحد منهما مئة جلدة. The adulterer and the adulteress. The adulterer, the women are, you know, guilty of sexual intercourse, يعني fornication. And the man guilty of, you know, sexual intercourse, meaning fornication. Flog each of them 100 stripes. And you give them 100 lashes each. Who are the, who are we talking about here? We're talking about those that are married and that they commit zina. No, astaghfirullah. Those who are married and they commit zina, those they need to be stoned. In Islam, they are to be stoned. This is if you were to follow, you know, the actual law, the Islamic law in Islam at the time of the Prophet, they used to stone those who commit zina from those who are married. But those who are not married and they commit zina, as zani was zaniya, you know, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, flog them each 100 lashes, 100 stripes. And then Allah Azza wa Jalla says, as zani la yankihu illa zaniyatan aw mushrika. والزانية لا ينكحها إلا زان أو مشرك وحرم ذلك على المؤمنين. الزاني, the adulterer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, marry not by an adulteress. An adulteress marry not but an adulterer. يعني الزاني only marries زانية, and زانية only marries زاني. And this is something haram in Islam. Allah Azza wa Jal, you know, prohibits this. And then Allah Azza wa Jal also talks about those who slander, those who talk about the, you know, accuse women of their chastity. Look how stern the ruling is with regard to people who slander. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ يَرْمُونَ الْمُحْصَنَاتِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَأْتُوا بِأَرْبَعَةِ شُهَدَاءِ فَاجْلِدُوهُمْ 80 جَلْدَةً. والذين يرمون المحصنات ثم لم يأتوا بأربعة شهداء فاجلدوهم 80 جلدة. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those who accuse chaste women, those who accuse chaste women and not produce 4 witnesses. You know what that means? Somebody who accuses a woman of committing zina, right? Someone who accuses a woman of committing adultery, and he does not produce 4 witnesses of his statement, he is to be lashed 80 lashes. He is to be flogged 80 stripes. Because this is something, you know, very, very dangerous in Islam. It's a crime. You cannot accuse a woman of committing zina unless you produce witnesses. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, 4 witnesses. Subhanallah, there's a statement in fiqh. This is related to fiqh. They said, you cannot, even if you see a man on the top of a woman, to the extent, before you accuse them of zina, you bring a rope and put it in between them. If the rope goes through, they are not committed zina. If the rope stops in the middle, then you can claim that they have committed zina. That, to that extent, subhanAllah, this is a fiqh matter. Right? So these, to those who commit, you know, slandering. And then Allah Azza wa Jal also talks about the story of the slandering, the story of, you know, slandering of Aisha, Hadith al-Ifk. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ جَاءُوا بِالْإِفْكِ عُصْبَةٌ مِّنْكُمْ لَا تَحْسَبُوهُ شَرٌّ لَكُمْ بَلْ هُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. Those, verily those who slander are a group of you. So what happened, it's a long story, when Aisha, when the Prophet Muhammad was coming back from this battle, right? And then Aisha, she was very light. You know, she went in with that Prophet, he went in on that trip. And women, they used to put them in something called al-hawdaj. Al-hawdaj is just like a little tent on top of the that used to put that tent on top of camels. But Aisha was very light. So she went out to take care of her, natural needs, and then they did not know that she was away. So they just, after they took a rest, the Prophet ordered the Sahaba to carry on the journey. So they just, left, and they left Aisha behind. So Aisha, when she came back, she found that the caravan have gone. So she was really, sad she stayed, because the Prophet Muhammad always used to leave someone behind, way behind, to walk back, so that in case if the army drops anything or they have anything, he's behind, so he would pick that up. So that man, one of the Sahabis was passing, was coming back as late, and then he found Aisha. He knew he was Aisha. So this is long story. I'm gonna summarize it. He gave, he let her ride his camel. And then he took her to Medina. And then there was this hypocrites, in the entrance of Medina. They saw the Sahabi with Aisha, and they started talking. They started talking. And rumors, started spreading, and rumors started spreading from talking to actually accusing Aisha of committing zina. So much so that the Prophet Muhammad really got hurt. And this thing, lasted for a few days, few weeks, a month. Right, so much so that the Prophet started hearing people talking about his ild, his honor, Aisha. And Aisha was not aware, but she noticed that Prophet Muhammad, his nature changed a little bit, with her. But she did not know what happened, because she got sick. And then when she realized, and then she found out, she was really hurt. And then she told Prophet, would you even, believe them? Would you, would you think, believe that I would do something like this, or such a thing, something haram? And then so much so that the Prophet Muhammad told her, or Aisha, if you did it, seek istighfar. Seek istighfar, seek forgiveness from Allah Azza wa Jalla. And she was so upset that she wanted to go and stay with her, because she got sick. She wanted to go back and, and be nursed at her father's home with her mom. And so much so, again, that the Sahaba, between the Muhajirin and the Ansar, between those who have spoken and others, there was a big, quarrel, and almost got into a fight, fitna, a big fitna. And Allah Azza wa Jal could have just sent down, his, and revealed who did it, and what happened and whatnot. But it just, subhanAllah, this thing lasted for about a month or so, until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayah that shows about Aisha's innocence. So this is in a nutshell the story, or the summary of the story of Al-Ifk, Hadithat Al-Ifk. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the same surah talks about some adab, etiquettes and adab, like adab of children entering, entering, let's say, children who do not or have not reached the age of puberty before, entering upon their parents, they should ask for permission. Like I said, this is lots of rulings in this area. It's amazing surah, which we could take us, like I said, days or weeks talking about it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, لا تدخلوا بيوتا غير بيوتكم حتى تستأنسوا. Before that, Allah Azza wa Jalla speak about some etiquettes. All you who believe, don't enter a home which is not yours until you ask for permission. Yani, you come to visit someone, you knock at the door. You don't go and look through the window if that person is there. You don't open the door and go in. You knock at the door. You ask for permission. If they let you in, you come in. If they don't let you in, if they don't answer, go back. Don't say, I know their home. I know their home. I saw them. Maybe there's something happening at home they don't want you to know of, or they don't want you to see, right? The homes are al-awla. The homes, they have some sort of privacy. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and this is verse number 27, don't enter somebody's home unless you ask for permission. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talk about another ruling with regard to lowering the gaze. Verse number 30. قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Tell the believers from the male to lower their gaze. That's better for them. And then Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. And tell the believing women to lower their gaze. another ruling, you know, to keep, you know, to stay chaste and not to fall into the traps of shaitan, to lower your gaze. So Allah Azza wa Jalla here starts with the believing man to lower their gaze, and to the believing women to lower their gaze. Allah Azza wa Jalla talks about, you know, why it's called Salat Nur, as I mentioned. This is the second section of Salat Nur, from verse number 35 to verse number 46. Allah Azza wa Jalla here speaks about His Nur. Allahu Nuru Samawati wal Ard. مثل نوره كمشكاة فيها مصباح المصباح في زجاجة الزجاجة كأنها كوكب دري يوقد من شجرة مباركة زيتونة لا شرقية ولا غربية يكاد زيتها يضيء ولو لم تمسسه نار نور على نور يهدي الله لنوره من يشاء ويضرب الله الأمثال للناس. Beautiful ayah about the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is verse number around 40, after 45, 46. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the nur of the samawat and al-ard, the nur of the heavens and earth. The parable of His nur is as a niche, and within it is a lamp, and within this lamp is a glass, and within the glass, as it was a brilliant star. Nurun ala nur. 35, Zakallah khair, 35. Nurun ala nur. Yahdi Allahu li nurihi ma yasha. Nur upon nur. Light upon light. Allah is nur, subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the Prophet Muhammad was ascended into the heavens, and he was asked that question, have you seen the face of Allah? He says, how can I see Him? Allah nur. He is nur. His nur يعني, overpowers the entire world. How can I see Him? His nur. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah nur al-samawati wal-ard. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the second section still, between verse number 35 and 46. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as He talks about Himself and talks about His power, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then in the third section between 48 and 64, between 47 and 64, which is, like I said, this the whole surah is about 64 ayat. So between 47 and 64, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks mostly about tarbiyah, and again some more rules and etiquettes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إنما قول المؤمنين إذا دعوا إلى الله ورسوله ليحكم بينهم أن يقولوا سمعنا وأطعنا. Again, submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in terms of, you know, when you are called to be judged, or when you are called, you know, when you have an argument with someone or a dispute between someone, and they say, you know, let's have Allah judge between you two. Meaning, let's bring the Quran and let the Quran judge between you two. The believers, what do they say? They say, سَمِعْنَا وَطَعْنَا. They submit. We hear and we obey. Whatever Allah's command is, we will hear and obey. But others, they complain. Others, they debate. Others, they, you know, they're always stubborn. They don't come forth. But the believers, they always, you know, submit to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They would say, سَمِعْنَا وَطَعْنَا. We hear and we obey. And then finally, Allah Azza wa Jalla talks about something really interesting with regard to children. Once they reach the age of puberty, and if they need to come in, you know, upon their parents, they need to ask permission. وَإِذَا بَلَغَ الْأَطْفَالُ مِنْكُمُ الْحُلُمَ فَلْيَسْتَأْذِنُوا. When they reach that age of puberty, فَلْيَسْتَأْذِنُوا. Let them ask permission before they come in, right? Before they come in. يعني you are with your spouse. Before your child, you have to teach this to your children. You have to tell them. Don't just come, you know, and open the door. Even if the door is not locked, you need to knock first and announce yourself. If you hear us telling you to come in, you come in. If you don't hear us telling you anything, you don't come in. You stay back. Ask permission. So this is another, you know, ruling or another etiquette that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tarbiyah, that Allah azza wa jal is putting forth for our children, you know. It's all in Surah An-Nur. This is in a nutshell, you know, a summary of Surah An-Nur. filled with legislations and filled with rulings and ahkam, filled with, you know, adab, even adab of entering the masjid. في بيوت أدن الله أن ترفع ويذكر فيها اسمه يسبح له فيها بالغدو والآصال رجال. In بيوت, in houses, Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran in Surah An-Nur, في بيوت, بيوت meaning the houses. What houses? The houses of Allah, يعني the masajid. في بيوت أدن الله أن ترفع ويذكر فيها اسمه. This proof to be elevated. Why? Because the names of Allah are mentioned in this buyut of Allah Azza wa Jal in the masajid. يعني you read the Quran in the masajid, you pray in the masajid, so you praise Allah in the masajid, you know, and there are certain people whose hearts are attached to this masajid. في بيوت رجال لا تلهيهم تجارة ولا بيع عن ذكر الله. Allah Azza wa Jal called them men, not male, men, men. Their hearts are not, you know, deluded by businesses and commerce and whatnot. Their hearts are totally submitted and they are attached to this masajid. And a lot of people, you know, during, you know, amid this lockdown, they were sick mentally, physically, you know, spiritually sick because they could not go to the masajid during this pandemic. So these are the people. And the Prophet Muhammad says about the seven categories. There are seven categories will be put under the shade of Allah the day when there is no shade except His shade, right? Seven categories. Amongst them, رَجُلٌ قَلْبُهُ مُعَلَّقٌ بِالْمَسَاجِدِ, a man whose heart is so attached to the masjid. A man whose heart is attached to the masajid. Allah Azza wa Jalla talks in Surah An-Nur about, you know, these people whose hearts are attached to the masajid. May Allah make us amongst them. Those people will be under the shade of Allah on the day of judgment. That's about it, my brothers and sisters. Zakum Allah khair for your attention. This was Surah An-Nur. Those of you who've come in late, you can always go back and watch it. Will be saved, inshallah ta'ala. It will be recorded. It's saved on Facebook, on YouTube, and on Instagram, inshallah, for those who've come in late. It was Surah An-Nur. Surah An-Nur. Barakallahu fikum. Zakum Allah khair. Those on Facebook, Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.